decade. In all, 13 miners would give their lives trying to bring a union to the Kentucky coal fields. It was one of the bloodiest struggles of the U.S. labor movement. Bloody Harlan earned its nickname.
They say in Harlan County there are no neutrals there. Either be a union man or a foe, a change man. Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on?
Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com.
You're listening to X-Ray FM.
KXRY Portland.
At 91.1 and 107.1 FM.
And in Nehalem.
Wheeler.
Manzanita.
And Rockaway Beach.
At 91.7 FM. Streaming online everywhere.
Live and archived.
At x-ray.fm.
Radio is yours.
Radio is yours.
No one loves their dogs like the Pacific Northwest does. But did you know that approximately 670,000 dogs are euthanized in shelters across the United States every year? The expensive surgery and medical care is a major contributor driving this statistic. Sometown Strays, a veterinarian-founded dog rescue, aims to make a dent in that number by taking in shelter dogs with treatable medical needs, providing care and recovery, and aiding them on the path to their forever homes. More information at stumptownstrays.org.
My name's Lee. I'm the board president for X-Ray FM.
And what's the best thing about your role?
The opportunity to create joy in the city of Portland.
Apple or orange?
Orange.
Aisle or window?
Window.
Cake or pie?
Cake.
Fantastic.
This is Ross Beach, host of Alive with Pleasure, inviting you to join me every Friday afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific as we decipher the live music listings, put sounds to the names we see on those show posters, and otherwise become slightly more hip to the events happening in our city. Keep that knob right at 107.1, or you can stream the show live or later at xray.fm. That's Alive with Pleasure, Friday afternoons from 2 to 4 on X-Ray FM. Radio is yours.
My name is Davis Wolford, and I'm an autistic artist and co-founder of Nerdpole Studio. Nerdpole Studio gives me a place in the community to make paintings, sell art, and share my talents with the world. It is a wonderful art studio full of friendship, kindness, compassion, bravery, and most of all, magic. For more information, go to www.nerdpolestudio.org.
Stay tuned. We got Ross Beach with Alive with Pleasure coming up next.
I ain't got no home, ain't got no shoes, ain't got no money, ain't got no class, ain't got no skirts, ain't got no sweater, ain't got no perfume, ain't got no bed. Ain't got no mind, ain't got no mother, ain't got no culture, ain't got no friends, ain't got no schooling, ain't got no love, ain't got no name, ain't got no ticket, ain't got no token, ain't got no God. And what about my hair, got my head, got my brains, got my ears, got my eyes, got my nose, got my mouth, I got my smile, I got my tongue, got my chin, got my neck, got my boots, got my heart, got my soul, got my back, I got my sex, I got my arms, got my hands, got my fingers, got my legs, got my feet, got my toes, got my liver, got my blood, I've got life.
Put it there, boy. We'll show these fascists what a couple of hillbillies can do. Well, I'm gonna tell you, fascists, you may be surprised. People in this world are getting organized. You're bound to lose. You fascists, bound to lose.
Program on the line with us, our buddy Christopher Armitage, the journalist, criminal justice researcher, former law enforcement officer, veteran, author, and the most significantly, the author of a great website at carmitage.substack.com. I am blanking on the name for some reason. Existentialist Republic, is that right, Chris?
Yes, the Existentialist Republic.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I've got to add that to your bio here. So anyway, a newsletter to which I subscribe and have for some time, and I encourage others to. It's free. It's just brilliant. And you come up with some of the coolest stuff. This one in particular got me. This is your headline. This is way bigger than RICO. Is there a legal strategy that could put the entire Trump GOP criminal enterprise in jail without waiting for an election? Whoa. Lay it out for us.
Absolutely. So the starting point is to understand that if Kash Patel, say, got a DUI in Ohio, even though he's acting FBI director, he could still be – he would be arrested by the sheriff. He would be charged by the county, and the state courts would handle it. They wouldn't call in the DOJ. They wouldn't call in the FBI. There are no state laws that say that, for example – your position or your title or your appointment makes you immune from those states' laws. In fact, even in Trump versus U.S., Justice Barrett, appointed by Donald Trump, said states still retain the right to enforce their own laws. The implication was we are not making a president above the law. And explicitly, they said official acts versus unofficial acts. And this has not been tested at all by the courts. Now, of course, Republicans are fine pushing the courts in the direction they want by bringing cases to them. And I encourage us to do the same as well, rather than complying in advance. Now, that just goes for Trump, though. That doesn't go for his cabinet. So that the article that you mentioned, the heart of it is using the dual sovereignty doctrine paired with the five families strategy, the way that the federal government took down the five criminal families that ran New York City in the night leading up to the 1980s. That is how you go after Trump. So you don't start with Trump. You work your way up the ladder. That's part of why they've protected Jonathan Ross so aggressively and other ICE agents, because they know that if they don't protect the foot soldiers of the organization, then all of a sudden it's going to trickle up and the capos, the captains, are going to start getting swooped up, the underbosses, and eventually the Don.
So this is something that has truly baffled me, Christopher Armitage. Why hasn't Jonathan Ross been indicted by Hennepin County or by the city of Minneapolis or by the state of Minnesota?
So there's good faith reasoning that can be brought to it. And I really encourage people to check out the article that I posted today about why prosecutors at the local level and at the state level aren't doing this. And it's not because they're corrupt or evil. There are corrupt, evil, stupid people in those positions. But largely it's because they do some math that is very normal and rational. But cumulatively, society-wide, it leads to the exact position that we're in. So they say to themselves, well, these cases are really difficult. We might spend a bunch of the taxpayer money on a case that ultimately the Supreme Court intervenes and throws out. Now, like I said before, Republicans have no problem bringing even long shot cases to the courts because they understand that it's a battle and a larger war, and you have to push the courts in the direction you want. Mm-hmm. And you do that by bringing cases. And so a good attorney is could county attorney or state attorney general is going to do that math and say, are we going to spend the money on a 50-50 case? Are we going to spend years prosecuting this? Another question they're going to ask themselves, is this going to bring personal harm to myself? Now, people think about the stochastic terrorism of the Trump administration, and that's real. There's cases across the country of judges who Trump points his anger at them and says, won't someone rid me of this meddlesome judge? Mm-hmm. And it causes serious harm because then a judge says, well, this is my family that mm-hmm. I'm bringing into this. And right. so that makes it very personal.
Right. We've already had one federal judge's son murdered, and the yes, guy was actually gunning for the judge herself.
Yeah, and even beyond just like the personal family part of it, when you look at the RICO case that was brought against Trump, it wasn't the Judge Merchant case in New York City, the RICO case in Georgia. These were not destroyed by Trump versus U.S. A lot of people misunderstand that ruling. And like I said, it doesn't impact dual sovereignty doctrine. That would be a much bigger change that I don't even think John Roberts would make. The states still have standing to enforce these laws, but if you're Fannie Willis or Judge Merchant, like they spend years attacking the prosecutor, not the case, because they know they can't win on the case. So for Fannie Willis, the DA in Fulton County, Georgia, they spent literally 18 months, even foreign intelligence services, some people say, were getting involved because they say if we can dig up dirt on her as a person, and in the court records, they were even bringing in the DA's father and brother for conversations and just mm-hmm. trying to find dirt on the prosecutor. And so everybody just says, you know, I don't have to go for this case. I don't have to prosecute it.
In other words, they're being successfully intimidated by a fascist administration.
Well, and Fannie Willis wasn't intimidated because, once again, black women consistently show up, especially in the criminal justice system, with courage. But she is the example that was set for the others. James Comey is another one who they will come after you if you don't bend the knee, if you don't step aside. And even for Letitia James, she didn't – just because the courts threw out the case against her, just like they did with James Comey, that doesn't mean that they won because – they had to show up in court. They had to pay their attorneys. Did right. Donald Trump have to pay for James Comey's attorneys the first or second time? Is he using his own money to pursue something that takes Letitia James, James Comey, any of his enemies' time, energy, stress? Every attorney general that says, I don't have to do this, mm-hmm. I can let somebody else handle it, or that they're making a rational decision that ultimately leads to the end of democracy.
Right. In other words, we have been, or at least our state and local officials have been cowed by a neo-fascist administration. So what do we do with that?
Well, we change the math. Every we know what's really great is actually we have so much power. We have more power. That's part of why they're so scared of organized labor, right? Mm-hmm. The scariest thing, they spend so much money. On May Day, I told people, I was like, you know what you shouldn't do today? I'm not endorsing doing this, definitely. But you could print out information on organized labor and put it on the car, every car windshield in an Amazon warehouse parking lot. You could do that on May Day, but I'm not endorsing it. And so, but how do we fight back? We do it by making it very clear that they are going to never be reelected, that their public image will be forever tarnished. If you run for office and you accept the role and you refuse to do your job in a moment of crisis and you won't resign, I want there to be forever a black mark upon your name in our moment of crisis mm-hmm. as people are dying in the streets. This is the power we have as the public. We show up and we kind of make life suck for them in a totally legally defensible way because they're a mm-hmm. public figure and they're refusing to do their lawfully assigned duties. And this is for people in red states and blue states alike. You show up. You need to know, everyone listening to this, I charge you. What do you want to do about this? Learn the name of your county prosecutor, learn the name of your DA, learn the name of your AG and get a hold of them. And on the Existentialist Republic, if you just search that, on our Substack. You can go through our backlog of articles. We regularly, multiple times per week, outline this strategy of like contact your county attorney and, you know, or file police reports. We had thousands of our members file police reports against Doge, and you don't know where the cracks are going to form. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you don't see the cracks until the dam starts to break.
How do we get this idea into the institutional Democratic Party?
Some of that's happening. It is already happening. So right now, a few days ago, I put out a call saying if you are a follower of the Existentialist Republic and you are in an organization, reach out to us, because we're not trying to create – there's already an indivisible. We don't need to create another one of those. What we want to do is encourage people who are armed with this information to enter other organizations, participate in other organizations, educate the members of those organizations, and help lead them towards more effective legislative and activist activities. And so some of the responses, though, when we put out this cattle call, we had members of the Democratic National Committee, members of Democrat committees, county chairs, sitting state house representatives, indivisible groups across the country. The people are there. Now what we're doing since we put that call out was we're looking to basically create a template for informing these people and giving them the rhetorical tools and empowering them to be the agent of change within that organization, and not to need us, not to need me, certainly, but to be able to bring their understanding of these ideas to those organizations, and then we don't have to create anything new.
Yeah, it's potent stuff. The newsletter is The Existentialist Republic. The website is carmitage.substack.com. Do I have it right?
Yeah, and if you just search The Existentialist Republic, we're the only one.
Yeah, that's the easy. Go over to, yeah, exactly. You plug that into a search engine or go over to Substack.com and plug it in. Christopher, thank you again. It's always great talking with you.
Ditto, Tom. Take care. Thanks for the work you do.
Thank you. Appreciate the work you're doing, too.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Just about 17 minutes past the hour. I'll be back with more of the news of the day. Has Sam Alito lost his mind? In just a second. Stay with us. And welcome back. David in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hey, David, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tim, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, we got an election going on here, and it's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I just want to do a little bit of a pushback on you about Vice President Harris.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she lost by a whisker, okay? She lost a 1.5%. You can take the three states that Hillary lost, same three, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, same three states. Hillary lost those states by 2.5%. Kamala Harris, and by the way, if Hillary had won those three states, she would have been president. So we go to 24. Kamala lost Michigan by 1%. She lost Wisconsin by 1%, and she lost Pennsylvania by 1.5%. Figured out, it comes out, she lost those three states by 1.2%. A lot of that, I think, Tom, was pushback on Gaza.
I agree.
Then you look at the three male demographics, black males, they went from 8% voting for Trump to 24%. When you take the Hispanic males,
now some of that might have been good old fashioned misogyny too, David.
Oh, look, I'm originally from Detroit. Went to the University of Michigan. I know Michigan backwards and forwards. I know exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got parts of Detroit that are totally and completely still about 85% Hispanic, and that's a whole nother.
No, I'm saying there are just, you know, there's that shift in the black male vote. A large part of that might have been accounted for by the fact that a woman was running as opposed to a man.
Yeah, and also Trump's surrogates, Ben Carson and that other clown from Florida, Brian, whatever his name, they went to several black churches in Detroit. Okay, that weekend leading up to the election. Kamala had the same opportunity, and she didn't do it.
Yeah.
She blew it.
Oh, I think she blew a whole bunch of things. And she was super cautious. She was campaigning with Liz Cheney and with billionaires. I mean, you know, she was, you know, I get it. Well, she only had 100 days, roughly, to campaign. She was, and she did spectacular for how far, you know, she had to go. But and I agree. She and Joe Biden had both given Benjamin Netanyahu a pass, which just pissed off a lot of people as well.
Oh. And this is the other part about it, Tom, is that in some parts of Detroit or Wayne County, you know, you know about Wayne County.
Oh yeah.
There were people
I used to live there.
Who absolutely were pissed off. They were angry. By what was happening in Gaza.
Yep.
Even a number of Jews.
Yep.
Okay?
And a lot of people.
She blew it.
Yeah.
But anyway, the last thing, in those three states, she lost by 155,000 votes.
Yeah.
It was just...
But nationally, she got about 3 million fewer votes, maybe 4 million fewer votes than Joe Biden had gotten. And that shouldn't have happened. That I think was a weak candidate, in my opinion. But David, thank you for the call. It's good talking to you. I appreciate it. 21 minutes past the hour. Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them. You know, we've all gotten so used to living in a country where people are trying to crowdfund, like, cancer research for children. St. Jude's is a wonderful charity, but we're the only developed country in the world that needs, you know, where you have to go to people and beg for money in order to treat children with cancer, or Shriners. I mean, another great charity, but shouldn't we all be funding children who are born with birth defects and problems like that? We're probably the only country in the world where you can sell your life insurance policy because Social Security doesn't cover your retirement. I mean, it's probably not happening anywhere else in the world. Or reverse mortgage your home because you can't afford it. I mean, this is crazy that we are living in a country where No Kid Hungry, a charity. You can read all about it. There's a whole op-ed I wrote about this over at HartmanReport.com. It's titled America's Sickest Reality Show, Crowdfunding Cancer Care While Billionaires Hoard Billions. Check it out. Two minutes past the hour. Did Sam Alito just lose his mind on the bench? The Supreme Court fast-tracked the killing of Louisiana's majority black congressional district yesterday. And Justice Alito went after Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson with the kind of language you typically don't see from the Supreme Court. Joined by Thomas Gorsuch, his fellow right-wing cranks, Alito called Jackson's dissent baseless and insulting and groundless and utterly irresponsible. Jackson, dissenting alone, said the majority, quote, unshackles itself, end quote, from constraints and is throwing Louisiana into chaos. And hey, it turns out she's right. Governor Jeff Landry already suspended the May 16th primary so Republican lawmakers can redraw the map. The 6-3 ruling guts a key piece of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. Black voters in Louisiana are about to lose their seat at the table. And Republicans in Tennessee, Georgia, South Carolina, and Alabama are already lining up to do the same thing. The Confederacy, the old gang, is getting back together again. This is gerrymandering by Supreme Court fiat. And frankly, that's an emergency for democracy. So what say you? I'll pick up your calls here. Mario in Chicago. Hey, Mario, what's up?
Thank you very much for taking my call. Very quickly, PBS announced yesterday for the first time where you've been seeing and saying for days and days in and out that this regime in the White House paying friends in Amsterdam not to build with males.
Mm-hmm.
So announcing and saying it,
Yeah, it was Denmark. They paid them $1 billion to stop construction on a wind farm off the east coast.
Exactly the same way.
It was already half built.
And another issue. Exactly. They're saying, and they put a video of that. So thanks to you, I will say that. And another issue with this gentleman saying the boring is not enough. Well, prove them different. Get a sign, go to the corner of your house, and ask everybody to go and vote. That's what my group and I, we do. Mm-hmm. We go on the corners with signs to get involved, to mm-hmm. vote. So prove different. And yes, it's going to be enough. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, if we don't get up and make a protest and with signs, it's not going to be an answer. And this prove different. We can do it.
Yeah.
We are more than us than them.
I agree.
Thank you, Mr. Harmon.
I agree. Thank you, Mario. Thank you for your kind words. Nikki in Chicago. Hey, Nikki, what's up? Nikki? Nikki going once, going twice. Blake in Portland. Hey, Blake, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me well?
Just fine.
Just fine. All right. Well, I want to discuss with you, because I want to clarify, because I think you're a smart guy, and I like your show, and I got a lot of news from your show. But a couple callers ago, you said that social media, what, was evil? It was like something.
No, I said it's poison, and what it makes it poison. Yeah. I used to run forums on CompuServe back in the 80s. I ran about 30 forums on CompuServe. So I have some familiarity with this. And we did not have an algorithm that was designed to amplify and reward outrage. And that's what Zuckerberg and all these other guys are doing, and Musk and all, you know, they're running an algorithm that basically turns what should be neutral social media or a bulletin board into a dopamine-based addictive drug.
Yes, yes, I agree. I agree.
Then what do you disagree with me about?
Because it's not all poison. If it is, then network news is poison, because they're not covering what's really being said. And if it's not you or the New York Times, I'm getting my you know, I have cultivated my algorithm to be not for Zuckerberg. And I recognize AI. I recognize, you know, fake and the plethora of ads, but so much. I mean, Al Jazeera, independent journalists are. I'm getting my news from them, and it's good news. I learned today there's a huge protest in Nashville. They're blocking the garage so that the members can't come in and then do this gerrymander stuff. I implore you not to call it poison, because you are telling.
No, I get over half of Americans get much or all of their news from social media. You're right. Blake, thank you for the call. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Exposing the con and conservative. I'll be right back with your calls. Gerrymander hits court. DOJ runs cover for Exxon, and Fox forgets the Constitution. Good morning. This is the Commonwealth Report, news for the public, not the powerful. You can sign up for free at commonwealthreport.news, and it'll come right to your email box every day for free. Is Trump dragging us into another forever war? The Middle East is on a knife's edge, and the Strait of Hormuz is the blade. Donald Trump told Fox so-called News that Iranian forces would be, quote, blown off the face of the earth if they target American ships running his so-called Project Freedom convoys through the strait. CENTCOM says it's destroyed six Iranian small boats and shot down cruise missiles and drones aimed at the United Arab Emirates. Iran's own president called the IRGC strikes on the UAE completely irresponsible, reportedly carried out without his knowledge. Trump's dismissing falling American support as, quote, fake polls. Senator Lisa Murkowski wants to introduce an authorization for use of military force to put a leash on this president. She'd better hurry. We've seen this movie before, and it never ends well. Did Sam Alito just lose his mind on the bench? The Supreme Court fast-tracked the killing of Louisiana's majority black congressional district yesterday, and Justice Sam Alito went after Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson with the kind of language you don't typically see from this court. joined by Thomas and Gorsuch, Alito called Jackson's dissent, quote, baseless and insulting and groundless and utterly irresponsible. Jackson, dissenting alone, said the majority, quote, unshackles itself from constraints and is throwing Louisiana into chaos. Governor Jeff Landry already suspended the May 16th primary so Republican lawmakers can redraw their maps. The 6-3 ruling guts a key piece of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. Black voters in Louisiana are about to lose their seat at the table, and Republicans in Tennessee, Georgia, South Carolina, and Alabama are already lining up to do the same thing. This is gerrymandering by Supreme Court fiat, and it's an emergency for democracy. Senate Republicans want $1 billion for Grampy's Ballroom. Last Monday night, yesterday night, Chuck Grassley and Senate Republicans dropped a $72 billion spending package, and tucked inside it is a $1 billion line item for, quote, security adjustments tied to Trump's gold-plated White House ballroom. Remember when the White House promised this thing wouldn't cost taxpayers a dime? Yeah, never mind. They're running this through reconciliation, so they only need 51 votes. Meanwhile, Iowans are going hungry, jobless, and uninsured under Grassley's watch. Senator Brian Schatz pointed out the one silver lining. Now every senator gets an up or down vote on funding Trump's vanity project. Working Americans pick between groceries and insulin. Trump gets a $1 billion dance floor. That's the deal Republicans are offering this country. Is Larry Kudlow and Fox allergic to the Constitution? Federal Magistrate Judge Zia Farquhar apologized in court yesterday to Cole Allen, the man accused of trying to assassinate Trump at the correspondence dinner. Why? Because Allen, a man with no prior criminal record, presumed innocent under our laws, had been thrown into 24-hour solitary, a padded room, no windows, five-point restraints, denied access to his lawyers, and even a Bible. Farquhar called it tantamount to solitary confinement, noting he'd never seen a January 6th defendant placed in five-point restraints, and reminded everyone that pretrial detention is not punishment. Then Fox's Larry Kudlow lost it on the air, hollering, "We're apologizing to this guy?" Yes, Larry, because that's how the Constitution works. Even Fox's own legal analyst Jonathan Turley had to remind Larry that prisoners do, in fact, have rights. The Bill of Rights doesn't look like an asterisk, or doesn't have an asterisk for people you don't like. Is Florida's new map the worst gerrymander in history? Ron DeSantis signed Florida's new congressional map yesterday, and within 2 hours, voters and the Equal Ground Education Fund hauled him into court. The lawsuit calls it, quote, one of the most extreme gerrymanders in American history. And here's the kicker. DeSantis's own map drawer, Jason Porita, admitted in a hearing that he used partisan data to draw the lines. That's a flat-out violation of Florida's 2010 Fair Districts Amendment, which 63% of Florida voters approved. Under the new map, Republicans could win 86% of seats with 55% of the vote. Tampa gets sliced into three districts, Orlando into five. This is Trump's national strategy. Steal the midterms with a ruler and a Sharpie because they can't win them fair. Is Trump's DOJ now handling big oil's personal law firm? Trump's Justice Department sued the state of Minnesota yesterday in a desperate bid to kill Attorney General Keith Ellison's 6-year climate fraud case against Exxon, Koch Industries, and the American Petroleum Institute. Minnesota's case accuses Big Oil of running a campaign of deception about climate change while sticking taxpayers with the bill. ExxonMobil alone raked in a roughly $775 billion during the lying years. Federal judges have already tossed similar Trump lawsuits against Michigan and Hawaii, and the DOJ filed copycat suits against New York and Vermont this week. Ellison says the suit is frivolous and meritless, and he's moving to dismiss it. When the Justice Department of the United States becomes the in-house counsel for the world's biggest polluters, you know exactly who's running this country, and it ain't us. And that's the way it is today, Tuesday, May 5th, 2026. I'm Tom Hart.
Help support Progressive Radio. If you're listening to us on a commercial station, call their advertisers and let them know you're listening. If you're listening to us on Pacifica, one of our many nonprofit stations, please support them when they do their fundraising drives. Thanks for supporting Progressive Talk Radio and tag You're It.
So what do we call the really, really mind-bogglingly rich? You know, at the founding of the Republic, they were referred to as speculators or moneyed interest or aristocrats. In the years leading up to the Civil War, we called them the cotton lords and the plantation aristocracy. In the late 19th century, they were the robber barons. In the 1930s, FDR called them the economic royalists. But since the Reagan Revolution, we've just called them billionaires. And now, you know, some of them want to call themselves tech bros. Like, that's kind of a good thing, you know, like tech is positive and bros, you know, like Mark Zuckerberg saying we need more masculine energy in American business culture. So we need a new phrase. I would like to suggest the morbidly rich. Morbidly suggests unhealthy. And the vast riches that some of these people have is unhealthy to our democracy, particularly since five Republicans on the Supreme Court said that morbidly rich people can buy politicians. And it's unhealthy for them, too. So morbidly rich. There's an op-ed over at HartmanReport.com all about it. Check it out.
Behind closed doors.
Welcome back. 35 minutes past the hour. Picking up your calls here. What's on your mind? Jeff in San Francisco. Hey, Jeff, what's up?
You know, your opening statement about the demasculinization of men in the, you know, what Reagan did. Another thing they did was they started talking about family values as they stole our family wealth. And
yeah,
how they stole our family wealth is they took away unions, which gave us pensions. They're trying to steal our Social Security. They stole the equity in our houses. These are all just in, you know, they look over there, you know, at those gays and the trans and the family
right.
values.
And at
so
the same time,
what we're doing.
And at the same time, they're telling men, oh, you've got to be the provider for your family. You've got to be the head of household. At the same time that they're stripping from them the ability to do so.
Yes, I'm a retired school teacher. My wife's still working our business. And I'm proud to clean the house and have it ready when she comes home. I'm proud to make dinner. That doesn't make me less of a man. It makes me more of a man.
Exactly.
And, you know,
I've
all
done
these
it
things
myself.
They try to. Yes, you have to do those things. So thank you very much for your great work. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, you know, Louise and I have run businesses together for years and years and years. And for many of those years, I stayed home with the kids and, you know, played house husband, and she went to work. I mean, it doesn't make you less of a man. I think it makes you more of a man. It's a good
Damn
thing
right.
to do.
Thanks.
Jeff, thank you. Stein in Alma, Wisconsin. Hey, Stein, what's on your mind today?
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Good. What's up?
Hear me okay?
Yeah.
Hey, so, you know, 2020 hindsight, I'm thinking to myself about Dean Phillips. You know, he was a guy who, you know, went against the DNC telling us that Biden should be the nominee and worked up a campaign. And I keep thinking, you know, how right he was. Do you remember that?
I do. What I remember is that I thought that he was kind of a crackpot. I mean, what am I missing here, Stein?
You know, I think he wasn't a crackpot. I think that he actually had it on the money. He
when
was
he
right.
said what?
When he said we should challenge the nominee. You know what? I think when the Democrats win, we have 15 or 20 people running in Iowa. You know, when we've got the slot filled in Iowa and we run a real primary, I feel like 2020 hindsight, and I know armchair quarterback, that we lose when the DNC says, hey, this is our candidate. We lost when the DNC said Hillary is our candidate.
Right.
Who goes against her? Bernie. And he gave her a run for her money.
Yeah.
He did. He gave her a run for her money. And nobody ran against her. I mean, all of the big players.
Right.
Nobody ran against her.
And Donna Brazil later, you know, wrote a whole chapter in her autobiography apologizing to Bernie for what she and the DNC had done.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, Dean Phillips, you know, little guy from Western Minnesota, he says, you know what? Biden isn't going to win.
Ross Story ran as an editorial calling for Biden to step out of the race after he had his senior moment during the debate with Trump. You know, I mean, I don't disagree with that worldview or that perspective. And you know, that's on Biden. I mean, you know, I am a big fan of Joe Biden, and he had a spectacularly successful presidency and did a lot of things really, really right. The one thing he did wrong was running for a second term.
I think he maybe was the most effective Democratic president in my lifetime.
Second to LBJ, but yeah, I agree. Second to LBJ.
LBJ might
the Great Society was a hell of a lot of good stuff. I mean, like, LBJ got us Medicare, Medicaid. You know,
a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, Civil Rights Act, voting.
But
rights
I mean, Act. Biden was one of the most effective presidents. Biden was one of the most effective presidents in terms of the amount of legislation and accomplishments in my lifetime.
Yeah. He was an incompetent communicator, and he shouldn't have run for a second term. So, yeah, but Stein, I don't want to relitigate the past here. Is there a point you wanted to make beyond that?
Well, I'm going to make this last point, that I really believe that in order for us to be successful, we have to have a primary, like a real primary. We have to have every single time.
We will in 2028. I guarantee you.
We need to have 5, 6, 7, 8 candidates.
That's definitely going to happen. Stein, I got to move along, but you know you're going to get it. You don't worry. Ann in Olympia, Washington. Hey, Ann, what's on your mind today?
Hello, Tom.
Hey.
First of all, I'd like to say that I very much appreciate your show.
And thank you.
I'm happy to find you on Substack. Also, since I've been on hold, I also want to thank you for having Christopher Armitage on. I've been reading some of his articles, and they're very long and somewhat confusing for an 83-year-old. So I appreciate a conversation, a two-way conversation that helps me understand.
He's a deep thinker.
What he's saying.
His mother, Wendy Lawrence, W.A. Lawrence, has a great Substack newsletter, too, that's fascinating.
Oh, okay. I'll check that out.
Yeah.
The main reason I called was an earlier caller called and suggested sending copies of the Constitution to our congressman, which I think is a wonderful idea. However, I wanted to add to that, and I think her name was Ann also, add to that that I bought pocket-sized constitutions from the ACLU and took them to one of our No Kings rallies here in Olympia. And the only disappointment that I had was that I didn't buy enough of them because people were interested. The older people, some of the people weren't quite interested. All I did was say, hey, would you like a constitution? You know, and I was carrying, I had my outfit on and my signs and stuff. But it was the younger people who actually took me up on it.
Right, because they didn't learn it in school, sadly.
And it's small. So it's like, it's just in this little thing I can stick in my pocket.
Yep.
So next time I will buy more. I like supporting the ACLU, and I think civic education is, well, you've already had that discussion, so I totally agree, is lacking. But young people have a voice, and if they know the Constitution, they can share it with their friends.
Well said, Ann.
Better way.
Yeah, and good on you on performing an important public service, sharing the Constitution. It is an extraordinary document. It makes you wonder about divine inspiration at times, but it's just an extraordinary document.
And when I think we think of it as so big, but when you have it in a little pocket size thing that you can actually refer to very easily and carry it with you.
Well, you can read the whole thing in 30 minutes. I mean, although you want to do it slowly. You want to think
about it. 10 years after that.
Yeah, there you go. And I have to move along, but thank you for the call. Great stuff, and good on you. Robert in Tyler, Texas. Hey, Robert, what's up?
Hi, Tom. I want to thank you for all the work that y'all do for the democracy.
You're welcome.
But I remember back
before Trump bombed the nuclear sites, that they had pictures of all these trucks lined up there ready to haul stuff away. Whatever happened to that? Did we track those trucks? That's where all the nuclear material is now, and we don't know where it is unless we found them.
Yeah. I don't know, Robert. You know, it wouldn't be particularly useful to them anyway, because the facility that had the ability to construct a nuclear bomb was also destroyed. I suppose it could be used for a dirty bomb, but pretty much any, you know, level of enrichment can be used to make a dirty bomb or a series of dirty bombs.
But they could get hauling what their material was out there that whole, seemed like it was like a week before they actually bombed them.
Yeah, I don't know. I have not been following that at that level of granular detail, Robert. I'm sorry, I can't answer that. It's a good question to do some research on the internet with. Robert, thank you for the call. It's 45 minutes past the hour. I'll be back with more of your calls in just a minute. Stay with us.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
It's the place where smart people get their news. We'll be right back. And welcome back, Ron in Seattle. Hey, Ron, what's up?
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure, Ron. If you can get your mouth a little closer to the microphone, it'll be easier to understand you.
How's that? I'm on my cell phone.
Okay. Yeah. What's up, Ron?
The reason I called, in 1954, I was in a class in the ninth grade. Our teacher was a vet. He just completed his college on the GI Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And in we had a pretty large class, about 40 students. One of the things we discussed a lot was the Constitution. And he had a point of making a point about the separation of the church and state. Anyhow, one day we come to class and he says, I have an announcement to make. And we all thought it was going to be about integration because that was making a lot of headlines at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, the thing I want to emphasize is the separation of the church and state. Mm-hmm. And the announcement I have is regarding the Pledge of Allegiance. The term under God has just been added to the Pledge of Allegiance. And our classmates, one of them was a student from Formosa. His father was a professor at the University of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And this student, he piped up, he says, well, what God?
Mm-hmm.
And the...
Like a good Buddhist.
Like a good Buddhist, exactly. And I get reminded of that every once in a while when I hear people talking about the Star-Spangled Banner and wanting to change it to God Bless America.
Mm-hmm.
And I, every time someone mentions evangelicals, I think about that. And this teacher was a crackerjack. I was lucky. I had a lot of male teachers that had gone to college on a GI Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they were the best teachers I had in junior high and high school.
Yeah, yeah. The GI Bill did a lot of good for America.
Yes, and he had had... He had been brought up as a good Lutheran, but he had a lot of experience from the war that kind of changed his whole attitude about religion.
Mm-hmm.
When he saw the damage that was done, and when the Russians came across the concentration camps,
mm-hmm.
and he met one of the German soldiers that they captured at the surrender. And the thing that kind of changed his attitude on religion, one of the German soldiers that captured was also a Lutheran. Mm. He's only about 16 years old, but he said the student who apparently spoke pretty good English said, "I don't understand how God permits this."
Yeah.
And so, in any event, I thought the issue about church and state, it still pops up.
It really is, Ron. It really is. Ron, I got to run, but thank you for the call. Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. Human beings have a couple of unique characteristics. The first is that we can be very tender and loving and concerned and caring toward people we perceive as being our group, us. We can also be extraordinarily violent against people that we consider to be them, if we think of them or this other as a threat. Probably the classic example of this is Adolf Hitler convincing Germans that, you know, Jews were a threat to them and good Germans going along with the Holocaust. Well, this othering is built into our DNA. This is, you know, ancient, ancient stuff. And the Republican Party, since the time of Nixon, when he started, you know, picking up the white racist vote after Democrats laid it down in the 60s, Republicans have been using this to try to other minorities in America as a political strategy. And this is really deadly stuff. There's a whole op-ed about it over at HartmanReport.com. Is othering human nature's deadliest instinct? Check it out. 9 minutes before the hour, picking up your calls here, Ralph in Kirkland, Washington. Hey, Ralph, what's up?
Hi. Well, I was thinking about gerrymandering. Why don't they make a law that says once you start a line, it's got to go a certain distance, 100 feet, 100, half mm-hmm. a mile or whatever.
Yeah.
And so that this would kind of
They should just, number one, say that all congressional districts have to be polygons. And number two, which would accomplish what you're talking about. And number two, that all congressional districts will be determined by nonpartisan, unbiased commissions, or by a mathematical formula that everybody has to use, and they can be drawn by computer.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, something like that to avoid all these little go half a block and or a block or two and change. Yep. And
sometimes they go right between houses. I mean, it's just crazy.
Really,
it's just crazy. Wow. And this is how the Republicans are hanging on to power in the United States, and it's wrong. Ralph, thank you. Well said. Amen. I'm with you. Thank you. Lawrence in St. Paul, Minnesota. Hey, Lawrence, thanks for listening to KTNF. What's up?
Always. Hey, at the beginning of the show, you laid it out really well. 4 points. I disagree with the order, but pretty much it's the same. You were saying economy first. What it really is racism. But I want to get to the point. At the end of your list, you're talking about, hey, we need to have free colleges. I'm just thinking about one thing. The Democrats don't seem to be showing any interest in trying to make the country better either. All we do is sit here and talk about what the Republicans can do. Let me give you an example. I'll give you this point to take with you. We have blue states. Blue states can't control how the college works. So make college free in every blue state. Here are the results. The money will be the fact, and people from red states will come to blue states. Statistically, it's been shown that the more people are exposed to intelligence, the more they become intelligent. Mm-hmm. So the more you have red state people coming in, the blue states, who offer free college, it's going to take a decade, maybe two, but overall, you're going to have a smarter, more informed electorate because of the simple steps that the Democrats should have a spine enough to take now. Now, I know you're going to say, we may not be able to do that. Tell me this. Trump has drawn a Sharpie and made hurricane forecasting different. Trump has came to the podium and said, hey, let's call this the Gulf of America. And now, voila, it's the Gulf of America. Trump has done everything without any kind of approval. And you're telling me the Democrats can't go, you know what? We're going to make college free. You come to our state. It's not free. It'll be no reciprocity. Yeah. I'm sorry. do something, Democrats.
Yeah.
Don't sit here and wait.
You're singing my song, Lawrence. You know, we used to have free college in California. Ronald Reagan ended that when he was governor. But, you know, half my friends from MSU or East Lansing had moved out to California to go to college for free. I hitchhiked out there in the summer of 68, I think it was, maybe 67, and spent the summer out there, you know, with friends of mine who were going to college out there. It was a good thing. It was a fine thing. So, Lawrence, I get it, and I agree with you. And you may well be right that racism is number one and economics are number two with white men. You may well be right. In fact, I think you probably are. Lawrence, thank you. Fred in Seattle. Hey, Fred, what's up?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm horrified by the Supreme Court decision, as most people are.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're missing the point. The problem isn't about racial gerrymandering. The problem is partisan gerrymandering. Why is that allowed?
Well, that's my point, is we need to outlaw all gerrymandering. All districts should be polygons, and they should be based on population, not on politics or race. That was certainly
totally
the intent
agree.
Of the founders, by the way.
Yeah. What can we do to specifically...
Let your Democratic representatives know that this is an issue for you, that you want to see a legislation that ends gerrymandering.
Well, my representative is Pramila Jayapal, so I'm pretty sure she already knows.
Yeah, there you go. But, you know, even with people like Pramila Jayapal, you know, let them know that this is something that should be that you want them to be louder about. It's a crisis now. I mean, obviously, you know, the Supreme Court just added probably as few as 10 and as many as 20 Republican seats to the next House of Representatives, to the January 2027 House of Representatives. And you know, with this, it's certainly by 2028, because it's going to take a couple of states a little longer to get there. But they're all jumping on it right now as fast as they can. And we need to do something about it.
Blatant.
Yeah, no, it's just wrong.
Blatantly cheating.
Yep, you're right. Fred, thank you for the call. And thank you for being with us today. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. In the meantime, don't forget, democracy is not a spectator sport. It requires all of us. That includes you. So get out there, get active, tag, you're it. Have a great afternoon. Be good to yourself and the folks around you. Stay safe. And take your vitamins, eat your veggies, get your exercise. And I'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.
Years ago, when I announced that I was leaving my job as editor of the Texas Observer to run for political office, I had to admit that going into politics is the only downward career move one can take from journalism. But being both a journalist and a politician does hone one's ability to detect the smell of BS. And we Americans are presently getting a noxious blast of that stench from our warmongering Department of Defense. The vast trillion-dollar Pentagon is the ultimate Big Brother bureaucracy, literally empowered to compel thousands of Americans to die in foolish military misadventures cooked up by political partisans and profiteering corporate contractors. That's why it's so alarming that Trump's Project 2025 autocrats are now rushing to slam an iron door of censorship on reporters trying to inform us commoners about the militaristic schemes and corporate fraud that comes from inside this government fortress. In the name of defending freedom, Trump's palace guards are banning media outlets that displease His Royal Highness. Also, Pretty Boy Pete, Trump's made-for-TV Pentagon honcho, has even decreed that reporters must be tightly monitored by military escorts while doing interviews, reviewing documents, and otherwise exercising the essential constitutional rights of our nation's free press. The good news is that rather than kowtowing to the autocrats, dozens of media organizations have told Pete to stuff it, choosing to do old-school outsider digging into this insider war machine. This is Jim Hightower saying, meanwhile, the Project 2025 authoritarians hail their clampdown on free